This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Could the Broncos now make a real push for the Super Bowl MVP? Interesting franchise tag information coming out of Seattle. Also, John Franklin Myers potentially on the move. We'll get into that. Sac State, they are paying a king's ransom to move out, to find a conference, to move up into the FBS. Is it worth it? Could it destroy a program? Also, Carmelo Anthony is in the news, kind of. Why the hate toward Carmelo? The whole show starts now. Good to see. It's always good to be around you, Mike.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's good. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Interesting news coming out of Seattle this morning. The Seattle Seahawks are unlikely to use either a franchise or transition tag on running back Super Bowl MVP Kenneth Walker III, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Basically, the story is the Seahawks have other free agents that are a priority at this point, and they want to try to extend the contract of Jackson Smith and Jigba and several other players on that roster, where maybe Kenneth Walker has moved a bit down the priority list there. He's slated to be a restricted free agent for the first time in March after playing the final year of his rookie contract with a salary cap number of just under $2.7 million. The projected cost of the franchise tag for running backs would be $14.5 million, which might be more than he's worth. Who knows? While the transition tag would come at a cost of $11.7 million, which, again, might be more than he's worth. That's just the running back conversation. There's three guys that are really in the 20s or close to the 20s. And outside of that, it is the list, you go way down the list. He had 1,000 yards this year on 221 attempts with five touchdowns in a backfield platoon with Zach Charbonnet this season. And he had 33 rushes of 10 or more yards in the regular season. That ranked sixth overall. Charbonnet suffered a torn ACL in the divisional round, so Walker became the lead back. And he led all players in the postseason. I mean, again, those stats are always kind of weird. When you win the Super Bowl, you're playing more games than most. So, hey, it goes back to it, man. Like, do you trust Sean Payton to get your money's worth? And it's not a ton of money. It's not a lot. Kenneth Walker, certainly the name, I think, that is on a lot of Broncos country's mind. Rico Dowdle is another one, though. In fact, I was reading the predictions, the best fit for this list of current free agents, and at number 46, that's where he's ranked as far as free agents. Rico Dowdle, according to ESPN, best team fit would be the Denver Broncos.
Let's go get him.
J.K. Dobbins along with Rico Dowdle, and then R.J. Harvey maybe doing his Joker thing, whatever. Rico Dowdle's been in the league a little bit now. His fifth year last year was with Carolina. He's had two 1,000-yard seasons, back-to-back, in fact, last year with Carolina and the year before that with Dallas. When you hear 1,000 yards for a running back, is that kind of... It used to be 1,300 to 1,500 put you kind of in the top tier of running backs. Does it seem now with the way the NFL uses running backs, that maybe 1,000 yards is kind of that, is that line. If you're a 1,000-yard rusher, you're pretty damn good. Where that used to be, yeah, you're in the mix. Maybe you're not upper echelon, but you're there. Is 1,000 yards now considered upper echelon in the NFL?
For now. I think things are going to swing back. I think we're going to see a lot more running game.
I think so, because the emergence of amazing safety play and the defensive coordinators and the defensive backs coaches that are utilizing these safeties. And it's getting harder to pass the football because defenses are getting smarter, Michael. And I agree with you. I think we could see a change of pace there. Now, this year, as far as just looking at the now, there were several running backs that ran for over 1,000 yards. 17 of them, in fact. Chase Brown, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, Rico Dowdle, Tony Pollard, DeAndre Swift, Travis Etienne Jr., Saquon Barkley, Javonte Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Jameer, the list goes on and on. There's about seven guys that were over the 1,200-yard mark, and that's still like James Cook, 1,600 yards. That's primo. Derrick Henry, even with the weird season for the Ravens, ran for basically 1,600 yards. Jonathan Taylor was around 1,600 yards. Bijan Robinson was at 15. Achane at 13. So, yeah, 1,000 yards is kind of like, I almost consider that if you're paying a guy starting running back money, ideally you want that running back to run for 1,000 yards. Aaron says, the Broncos decided to release a two-time 1,000-yard per season running back in Phillip Lindsay. I just don't think teams want to run the ball much anymore. I think they're going to be forced to. I think they're going to start to do that because I think the safety play. In fact, I was watching a mock draft show last night. I can't get in the Olympics, so I'm just watching NFL stuff. And there was a lot of talk of seeing, even if there's a lot of safety, even if there's not a ton of talent at the safety position in the draft, there's a thought there that you could see teams reaching because they want to have what Seattle had. They want to have what Jacksonville had. Denver had pretty good safeties too. They want to have what Houston has. The safeties have been, I mean, they give you so much freedom now because you're asking them to play deep, guard one half of the field, but also have the ability to come up in run support or stop tight ends in short pass situations. So I do think that the safety position is really starting to take off. And that's why I think you might see offenses look at that, and defenses are getting smarter. They're figuring out quarterbacks. They're figuring out pressures. They're getting guys that can win one-on-one battles, guys that can just freak the quarterback the hell out. So the run game might have an emergence, maybe as soon as next season.
I feel like we're seeing a lot more, and don't get me wrong, Polamalu was one of a kind, but I think we're getting more Polamalu types, people wanting to have a Polamalu type. I think that's what we're getting more, and that's why safety play has been so good. He was so versatile.
Yeah, he was, but we're seeing more guys coverage-wise disguising their coverages and just being really smart. I mean, we had Hugh Millen on the show last week talking about Seattle's Super Bowl win and how they really bought into Mike McDonald's defense and how it was a process, though. And there are so many layers to their coverages and their calls that you have to be a really smart football player to figure that out. And I think that you're just going to start seeing that more and more in the NFL. And it's not like, again, looking at the stats, you had a lot of running backs that were in the 1,000-yard range. The Broncos would have had one if J.K. Dobbins would have stayed healthy a few more games. He had 772 yards in 10 games. And it seems all right, considering he only played 10 games, but I still believe that Sean could have ran the ball a hell of a lot more. I think we all believe that. I think all of Broncos country agrees that they should have ran the ball a lot more, especially in short yardage situations when Sean Payton tried to get cute sometimes. But that's an interesting point, Aaron, with the Phillip Lindsay. Again, different regime. But running backs, the value just isn't isn't what it used to be. Derrick Henry is kind of the dude bucking the trend of once they hit a certain age, 30 has kind of always been the understanding. They're really not going to be a guy you can give the football 250 to 300 times a season. Derrick Henry's kind of breaking a different mold there, I guess. But how aggressive? The Broncos have money, so they can still go get a top-tier running back and probably a top-tier or somewhat top-tier-ish at another position, such as wide receiver or tight end. You could potentially get two big-time producers, at least based on their recent resume. Yes, Michael?
What slight tangent. Would you say that the downfall of the tight end of the running back position did not begin with the defense, but rather the running back by committee? In that situation you didn't have that one back. You would have a bruiser and you'd have a guy who could, you know, make the moves. But with the Broncos, it was always one guy. With the Lions, it was always one guy. With the Cowboys, it was always one guy. But then the Giants came along, and it was two guys.
Well, and the Lions now have two guys. I think it still goes back to the rule changes. That's when we started to see the... And again, some stats don't always sync up to this argument, but there's a lot of running backs that get garbage carries, too, that will give them, you know, an extra 30, 40 yards a game just because defenses are playing so tight trying to get a stop at the line of scrimmage and you break through. And it's still a skill. You still have to do that. But you break through and you pop open 30 because they loaded the box. If you can get past that first level, then you go crazy. But I still believe the rule changes started this with how easy it is to get pass interference calls. They don't allow defenses to play aggressive. You know, it used to be you could bump a receiver down the field until the ball was in the air, which is still a tough skill, knowing when you can stop. But now it's what, a couple yards after the line of scrimmage, you're not really supposed to bump. And they do allow you to make contact. Like, you can put your hands on a receiver. It's just when you start using that hand to manipulate their movement, they're going to call interference. But offenses have found ways to take advantage of a defense that can't play as aggressive. You see a lot of those pick plays, man. A lot of those plays designed where they can set screens, essentially,
yeah,
to open up
rub
receivers.
Route.
Yeah, rub routes, all that. Screen plays, because they know corners just can't get extremely aggressive in tight yardage situations. So I think it started there. But I also believe there's a lot of good running backs in the NFL. Are there a lot of great running backs? Guys like, I mean, seriously, we're talking Terrell Davis type dudes. Where every year Derrick Henry has been that guy. You don't have a lot. I think James Cook is probably in that discussion. Jonathan Taylor has emerged, especially the last 2 years. But, well, you're also asking running backs to catch the ball out of the backfield a lot more, too. And so they're not designing that. So I think it's a mixture of all those things. I think it all started when, offensively, you could take advantage of the rules, of rules that were supposed to allow for more points, and high-flying, more yards from quarterbacks, because that was the brand, and it still is. It's the brand the NFL wants. But as defenses start to really, they copycat each other, they see one coordinator is really good at figuring out unique blitzes.
How many people went to the Tampa 2 after the Tampa 2
Tampa
was so
2,
good?
I think there's going to be people looking at what Seattle did to complicate their coverages because they had Drake May absolutely befuddled. They had that. They did that all season. If you went back and actually could sit down and watch film of Seattle's defensive coverages, I think it'd be fascinating to see that stuff, by the way. But it seems like Seattle has more guys than 11 on the field when you watch them play. And that's, you have to have the ultimate communication between your defense, and they just know not only their coverage assignment, but they know everyone else's coverage assignment. So I think as we get more complex defensively with those guys, then I think you're going to see guys offenses say, let's load up the beef at the front and just run the ball and not get too gimmicky all the time, because teams are investing more in safeties and shut down corners. And maybe now I think a trend is going to be defensively, you know, if we invest in one shutdown corner, we also need to invest in one that's pretty close to a shutdown corner, because that guy, like Riley Moss, is just going to get picked on the whole time. And that can be tough, even on the best corners, if you're constantly getting the ball thrown your way. So I think a change is coming, and I think it would be wise of the Broncos to take advantage of that. And does that change if Sean Payton is still the play caller? Does that change if Davis Webb takes over the play calling? I just don't know, because every week it was the same thing. Will Sean focus on running the ball? And every week we got the answer, and every week it was no. Even when J.K. Dobbins ended up with like 20-plus carries against the Raiders, remember you and I broke down the play-by-play and went through it and said there was like two series in that game where J.K. had 5-6 carries. So like 12 of his carries came in two series where they just dedicated to the run, and the rest of the game they didn't do that.
I was actually really looking forward to that segment, because when I went to your office that morning, you were preparing for that segment. You were doing a deep dive, and I was going, oh, he's very serious about this.
Well, yeah, because it's easy for fans to just say, oh, run the ball. Why don't they run the ball? But if you break it down, well, J.K. Dobbins had 20 carries against the Raiders. Brady, you got your wish. Not necessarily, because the way you ran it sometimes. Faith still, you guys are going nuts on this whole no shave thing. I love it. This is what it's all about. Faith says, the fate of 28. Tanner won't go 30. And I think 30 is obvious, because it's the dirty 30. The dirty 30.
That was a Brian creation.
Yeah, and that could create the Rockies, like, oh, they're just dirty. They're finding ways to win gritty games and stuff like that. We could help put that on the map, man, the dirty 30.
And also we could bring in kind of the rock pile situation where, you know, rocks are kind of dirty. You and Tanner, the dirty 30 sitting in the rock pile.
Yeah, just
doing
your
little Facebook Live.
Two dudes sitting in the rock pile. Yeah, I think it'd be great. So I'm all for the dirty 30. But the quest is we're gonna duplicate what we did last year. Tanner and I decided that we weren't going to cut our hair or shave our beards until the Rockies got to 35 wins. And it turned out to be a really fun thing that we did. And people were engaged. So we decided to make that a tradition. And we're going to do it again this year. The question is, do we do 28? Or do we do 30? And why 28? Someone, a texter yesterday, said, just do the age of Tanner. They must have known that my age would be way too much, apparently. I don't think I sound that much older than Tanner, but apparently they didn't want to go with my age, because that would have been more difficult to get to.
Yeah, but by the time the Rockies get those wins, it's not going to be Tanner's. Tanner's going to be 29. He'll have reached his 29th birthday.
We start it. Before, like, once the season starts. That's the new goal, is we're not going to start in the middle of the season. It's going to be the beginning.
I know, but they won't get 28 wins by June.
They might.
No. They'll get their 28th win in mid-July.
That would be pretty much April, May, June. 3 full months of this shave thing. No shave thing. That'd be about what we did last year, I believe.
By the way, I look like I've already started this.
You do. Except for
your hair. I would join in with you guys, but this is just me regularly.
Well, you could join. Just you got to get a fresh cut, though. You got to get a fresh cut, and you got to shave the beard.
Yeah, but you do realize that, like, I go 6 weeks without trimming my beard because I don't like waking up in the morning.
Well, but yeah, but we're talking beyond 6 weeks, Mike. We're talking beyond 6 weeks.
I've done it. I've gone 3 months before where I was just like, I hate mornings so
much. Faith asks, what's the average age of everyone who works there? What would you say the average is?
Well, you're going to have to add Bruce.
Bruce
Damon,
brings that up.
Me.
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me try to get some math.
I'm going to say high 40s. No? 50s?
It wouldn't. Maybe.
You got one. I don't know how old Bruce is. He seems really young, though.
He does seem really young.
Yeah.
It's because he's athletic and he, you know, stays.
He's sharp. He's sharp.
Motion.
He's active. He's sharp. I don't know. Travis, the new guy. Brady, are there enough baseball games in the entire season to get to your age? Just teasing. I wanted to give you a bad Michael joke. I don't sound old, though. Like, Tanner sounds older than me. Because he's always like...
I don't know
like,
how old Derbs is.
Derbs is like my age. Like 39, I think. Tanner's saying roughly 48. We're not going 48. No way. We're not
Hang
going...
Hang on. I'm forgetting who all works here.
Well, there's you, and then there's me.
I already counted myself.
There's a handful of other ones. So that's all we know.
I got to count by office.
And you don't need to do this whole... like
2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Ruse.
Well, you don't need to...
Are we including Kyle?
Well, you people that work here, if whoever receives a paycheck from the radio station. Codes, technically.
I have no idea how old Codes is.
He's probably like my age, maybe a little younger, I would imagine.
I'm going to guess at Kyle's age. I know roughly how old he is.
Kyle's probably close to my age.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I don't know. That's too far. That's too high of a number. I think it's either 28 or 30 is where we go with this, Mike. That's where we go. And I like the dirty 30, but Tanner's too afraid to go from 28 to 30.
Right now I'm getting 50.
Which I get where he's coming from because it took weeks to get to 2 wins. That happened.
I'm adding Kyle, I'm getting 52.
So 52, we can't.
It's we are moot. Roughly 52.
We're not going 52. Tanner and I will look like Cousin It from Adam's Family, Mike. Am I right on that? Was it Cousin It?
It yeah.
The hairy
you're
creature?
Right. Cousin It.
Cousin It. I always got that one confused with hand.
Thing?
Thing, yeah. Hand thing. Travis says, yes, Tanner sounds older than you. That is accurate. Yeah, see? I think that's a compliment.
Aaron, he does have a low voice.
Aaron says, I would set the mark at 62. It would make for a nail biter for the whole season. We're not. No. We still have jobs. Like, yeah, we do the radio thing. That's our primary. But we still have to be out and about and do public stuff. And you can't just go up to everybody and say, by the way, I'm doing a funny Rockies bet. By the way, I'm doing a funny. Because people look at you and go, wow.
Got to do the dirty 30.
They'll look at Tanner and go, man, that dude really let himself go. With
man,
me, they'll just be like, well, Brady
must be
like chopping wood, man. Must be doing something awesome. Maybe he's learning how to be a UFC fighter or something. With Tanner, they'll be like, man, poor dude. Is he still employed? I hope he's okay.
And then
he's really getting
say,
into the whole
how many
Amish
facial
thing.
Hair? He has like barely any facial hair. Did he glue that on?
Faith says, sorry I asked, was just a thought, but forgot about the older lads. Yeah. Bruce kind of screws that one up for us, I think.
Bruce and Brian.
Yeah. But that's okay, because we weren't going to go 40 anyway, even if the average was 40. We're not going 40.
Yeah, we're not going 4 years younger than me.
Can we get a barbershop on this to advertise?
I think we should.
Does anybody know any barbershops that would advertise on this? Like... anybody?
I know of a barbershop.
That's how we're going to sell ads now. I'm just going to ask the hooligans. Tanner just says, you're not wrong, but Micah needs to shut up. You need to shut up, is what he said.
Is it about his very, very sparsely populated facial hair?
I think he's got a decent stash going.
He like cut some stuff and then glued it on.
That's a really creepy thing for you to
That's
even
a guess.
Enter your brain.
But it's probably true.
Enter your brain. Lemons Heating and Cooling, they will cool off any conversation, kind of like Michael. Lemons Heating and Cooling, they'll get your heater fixed, your air conditioner fixed, duct cleaning. Call 970-567-0798. I use these guys. They were awesome. And what I love about Lemons Heating and Cooling, it wasn't a rush to buy something new. Dude, Jerry was sitting down with me. He's like, there might be a couple of quick fixes you can do. to make sure, you know, maybe it's something easy that you can just clean out all the debris that gets in there, clean that out. So I did that, and that thing lasted a few more months. And so I really appreciate that. And he did tell me, he's like, yeah, but it might just be a short-term deal. But it could save you a few bucks right now, and then you can start planning for it. And then ultimately we had to replace the AC last summer. And Lemons Heating and Cooling, they were fantastic. Call them today, 970-567-0798. Travis, the new guy, I got a great barber. Hook us up. Hook us up. Faith says, well, either you or Tanner's Barbershop hop on this to advertise. I don't know. Do you want to? You know, yeah, we could. I got bad news, though. Because mine, who I like, and she's been cutting my hair for a while now, finally discovered someone that could do it right. She's leaving. She's leaving. So, she's moving. Tanner says, tell Michael to put his money where his mouth is and do it with us.
Tanner, I do that like I shave 6 times a year.
It doesn't matter. You still keep it. When it gets out of control, you still cut it. The point of this is you get to the point where it's like, it's looking really bad. I don't know if you can hang, Mike. I don't know if you can. I don't think you got the you-know-whats to do it, bro. Because eventually you're going to have to go buzz your little head and you trim up your little beard. I don't know if you could do it when it's hot. You think you could do it?
Yeah, I could do it. I used to have long hair. Well, I used to have hair down to, like, here.
And saddle up. Are you joining officially? We shave on the 26th, and we cut our hair. Give him a call, Travis, the new guy. Let us know. 31 after the hour, Mike. Let's take a quick break here. Rico Dowdle, is that who you'd like to see? Probably $6.5, maybe $7 million a year. That's my guess. Also, Mark Cuban, defending. Get ready for it. Defending. Tanking. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, will join us in the 12 o'clock hour as well. It's the whole show. Just getting started here. We are powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse. Look at that. We got our hooligans referencing Big City Roadhouse. That place, man, I was just talking to Cleta, one of the owners, yesterday, because we're going to be doing our watch party out there, for one of our watch parties out there on March 19th for March Madness. And then the following day we'll be at McCarty's Grill out in Eaton. So we really want the hooligans to come by and hang out. Just for, if you can't stay all afternoon or whatever, come out and say hi to us. Try something. It's amazing. But I was just talking to her and she's like, we just keep having these amazing months. Like, it just keeps picking up. And Valentine's Day weekend was huge for us. So, Hooligans, you're understanding the assignment. You're getting over to Big City Roadhouse. Locally owned and operated. Amazing food. And they're always giving stuff away. They'll be giving a TV away at Big City Roadhouse. Just for showing up to watch games with us, you'll be entered to win another 55-inch smart TV. They're doing it every month, man. So come by, hang out with us, and you'll have a chance to win that. Plus, we're going to be doing some other fun raffles overall. Rico Dowdle or Kenneth Walker III? Who would you rather go with? Assuming both are going to be available and Seattle is still planning on not franchise tagging Kenneth Walker. Who would you rather go with? Rico Dowdle's had 2 pretty good years. As for Kenneth Walker, he's I mean, he's played 4 years. He had 1,000 yards his rookie year, 900 yards his second year, and then 573, only played 12 games in 2024. Then he had 1,000 last year. So really, in his 4 years, you could kind of say 3 out of his 4 years, basically 1,000-yard rusher. Rico Dowdles played about one more season than Kenneth. And, you know, in 5 years, he ran for 2,500 yards and 10 touchdowns. In 4 years, Kenneth Walker ran for 3,500 yards and 29 touchdowns. Kenneth Walker's the answer. He's the answer. And even with me being a bit hesitant to sign any running back because I worry about what Sean Payton's going to do, I don't think you can play that game. I think you just have to hope that Sean sits down with his staff, they go to the lab, and they figure it out, and they decide to commit to the run game. And they might have to. If there is, now Bo Nix, of course, came out, said there's nothing wrong with my ankle. It wasn't like a long-term deal. It was kind of a freak deal. Still, if Sean Payton's talking about the surgeries Bo has, do you think Sean wants Bo to be running all the time in year three? He might want to try to relieve some of that by really committing to the run game, which, again, it's not just the running backs. The offensive line, they were very good at protecting the quarterback this year. Maybe not as good when it came to running the football. So all things will need to be addressed in the offseason. So I think as long as they get some name at one of those three positions, RB, TE, or WR, you got to make a splash there and then fill out the rest of the draft, because I still think they should draft a running back. Even if they sign one, I think they should still draft a running back fourth, fifth, sixth round. Just keep that room full. Just keep guys trying to compete. And if RJ Harvey isn't looking like he's going to take the next step, then you've got other guys that can at least give it a shot. 41 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I just had something new we're kind of doing with some of our sponsors here, like a whole show special. I sat down with the owner of Foundation Sports Nutrition, Kyle Krupanski, earlier this morning, so that'll be coming out later. But he has a fascinating story of why he got into this profession. Extremely smart dude. Graduated like the highest in his class at School of Mines. He was there to be an engineer, obviously. Then he went to CSU. He was going there to get his master's in sports nutrition, and then they did away with that program, so he ended up just getting his bachelor's in more of like exercise science. So he's got two degrees from two well-respected schools. He, for free, was helping the club baseball team at CSU to just be their trainer guy. And then he started working at Max Muscle. He loves the science behind nutrition, food intake, and not just exercise, but different type of supplements that will work for your body. Like, he really cares. He's really passionate about this. This is not a, like, you walk into Max Muscle and it's usually like just buff dudes and they're like, bro, I do this and this is what I'm, you know, what I'm into. He's going to ask you all the questions, like, what are you doing? Are you trying to exercise? You walking? Like, what is it you're doing? You're trying to make a couple of changes? Or maybe you got kiddos that are in sports and in the off season, they need a place to train. Double Diamond CrossFit. I mean, he goes through a lot of that with high school kids. He said he's got his youngest client is 9. His oldest client is 84. So people of all ages, all walks of life are utilizing the products at Foundation Sports Nutrition and Double Diamond CrossFit. They're off of 10th Street and 59th Avenue. They're across the street from Wells Fargo and Sonic. That's Foundation Sports Nutrition. 48 minutes after the hour. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, is going to join me in the second hour. We'll talk about Christian Fourier and his comments a week ago. I mean, I know it was a week ago, but still has a lot of Buffs fans talking, because I don't think a former Buff has come out quite like Christian did in, you know, as the opposition to Coach Prime. So I'm really curious to see what Mark, hear his thoughts there. Also, Mark's thoughts on Tad Boyle last week. Kind of, really honest, really, really honest, emotional chat when he talked about how embarrassed he was after they got smoked by Texas Tech. You know, what's the future of that program look like? So Mark will join me a little bit later on. Also, I'm going to get to Mark Cuban defending tanking. And I'll tell you what, I've got his tweet pulled up here. We'll get into it. Is he wrong? Is he right? There are fans like Michael, don't ever tank. But then there are fans like me that are smart and that are like, hey, do you want to be better next year and the year after that? Or do you want to continue being middle of the road?
Hey, I'm a fan of my team only when they're good.
No. In fact, I think that would make us the opposite because I want them, if they're in a situation to tank, I want them to be so bad that they get a good draft pick. You, on the other hand, you want your team to be middle of the road, mediocre all the way. And that's fine for you.
No, I root for my team to be good. You just root for your team only when they're good.
I want Super Bowls. You're good with like 7 wins and, oh, there's a decent player too. I want Super Bowls. I think that's where we differ. You just want them to go out there and have fun.
Your logic is flawed.
My demands, I have more higher expectations for my teams. I want my teams to win championships. You're just good if they show up on the field and have fun. Because you predict them to win every game anyway, so you're already not going into it with any logic. So it takes a fan like me to be logical and
be
say,
wrong.
Yeah, it's okay to tank sometimes. Most fans agree with me. Most fans disagree with you because real fans want their team to be good and want to win Super Bowls. And you don't do that.
So you're saying real fans will root against their team.
If you just constantly win 6 games, if that's who you are, you're about the now. Luckily, you do not manage the Denver Broncos because this team would be the worst team in the world. Because you'd be trying for that 4th win so bad no matter what, even though it's going to cost you 5 draft slots.
Okay, fair weather fan.
No, you say that, but...
Fair weather.
How is that fair? You see, you're just throwing out statements. How am I fair weather?
It's fair weather.
I'm willing to put up with the suck.
I want them to lose. So... we'll have a better draft pick. I'm going to root against
you're
my team.
Like the worst. Like you're, but Mike, listen to yourself. Every week, what do you say?
The Broncos are going to win. I just know it.
Based on no substance, you couldn't give me a reason. You couldn't give me a matchup reason why you think
reasons.
The Broncos are
going.
No, you think you realistically think the Broncos could win every game based on the matchups that you dissect. You think they would go undefeated every single year.
That's my Sunday morning attitude.
That
I'm
is
not going to go
correct.
Against my Sunday morning attitude.
That is incorrect. That is the worst sports take that exists in the history of sports. And yet you're telling me I'm a bad fan because if my team is at the 6-win mark and
you're
winning an extra
them.
Game is going to be the difference between a top 5 pick and a top 10 pick, I'm rooting for a top 5 pick because I want my team to be good next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that and get a franchise quarterback. You're good with the Trevor Siemians of the world. You're fine with that, with Paxton Lynch at 23. That's where you want to live.
So you're fine rooting for the Raiders and rooting for the Chiefs and rooting for the Chargers and rooting for the Cowboys to beat the Broncos because you want the Broncos to suck the rest of the season.
If that season rears its ugly head and you are sitting at 4-10 after 14 games, it does you no good to win the next 3. It does you no good.
Well, I'm continue thinking about to be the future. A fair weather fan.
I'm thinking about the future. You're thinking about La La Land.
They'll win because they like football.
That's you, Mike. I'm here to help you. Help me help you. Help me help you.
Fair weather fan.
Help me help you.
The Joker Bag. Will the Nuggets make a run? Find out with us on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You get me so fired up. We don't have any time in this hour. Top stories of the day coming up next. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, will join me. I'm going to get into Mark Cuban's tweet that got Michael and I feuding again. And he's just so wrong. Buy or sell. Nuggets health update. And why people are pissy that Joker doesn't care about the All-Star game. Also, Melo is in the news. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.